Well, I know I'll finish today, but because the events of the end will come quickly. And so he wants to prepare his church to look out instead of just being navel-gazing, okay? So I ask you again to just close your eyes. I'm going to read the prophecy again to remind you or read the vision. And you're going to be there. And in this vision, we are like a bird flying over a great expanse of water with a very large ship, a military ship, we see sailing through calm waters. We can see the crew busy at maintaining and caring for the exterior of the ship. They're busy cleaning off the corrosive effects of the ship passing through salt water and salt air. We see others standing at their posts, watching for the enemy's activity all around them. As we fly over the ship, we become aware that the activity of the ship is going on within as much as it's going without it. The crew are working at their jobs, manning sensitive equipment that assists the sailing of the ship. The captain in charge is directing, assessing information, making decisions, and giving orders based on the info at hand. But suddenly without warning, there's an explosion that interrupts the stillness of that moment. The lookouts don't see any obvious threats on the horizon or in the air, and yet an explosion has occurred. Immediately, the captain gives an order to investigate the explosion and bring back news about the damage and casualties involved. After some time, the report comes back that the ship has suffered no structural damage and there are no casualties. The ship was no longer moving forward, and the explanation was that the ship hit a magnetic mine with the propulsion system having suffered damage to the propellers. They were unable to make the necessary repairs to restore the propulsion system. They were essentially dead in the water. The captain orders an SOS be sent out to allied ships near them and assist in towing them to port for the repairs. Shortly, the distress signal is answered, but it's going to take time to get these ships to their position. The captain thanks them for their help and orders the ship's crew to go about their duties, remaining alert for any further enemy activity. This ship, who had helped so many others, is now in need of help. Yet aboard and unknown, saboteurs are waiting for their opportunity to cripple the ship even more. Bam! There goes another explosion, ripping open the hull with a torpedo. The ship was taking on water and the crew was working feverishly to contain the rupture. The captain was telling everybody that it was okay and that everything would be fine. Everything was under control as the chaos was at its peak. Does this sound familiar? As the sailors were repelling the breach along, another series of explosions were going off in the ship. Simultaneously, as these explosions were going off, the ship is rocked with additional torpedo strikes. The ship is taking on water faster than the crew is able to contain it, while others are busy putting out the fires by the saboteurs within. No one noticed the ship on the horizon because of all the confusion and chaos. Then one of the lookouts noticed that ships were on the horizon, and these were allied ships coming to their rescue. Rather than assist them, they began to fire upon this great warship. It was a final act of betrayal. No one cared. Lives were lost. Enemies on board were congratulating themselves in their part of the ship's destruction. And the last thing that anyone heard was the captain saying, "Everything is fine and under control," as the ship slipped beneath the waves. All hands lost. I said in the two previous weeks that with this vision, I was interpreting the vision. And of course, this mighty ship is the church. It can be the local church, it can be the church worldwide. But it's the church. The destruction to the propulsion system was done by a mine. You can't see the mine, but you know that something's changed by the explosion. And I stated that the propulsion system is the vision of the worldwide church or the local church. Because vision is lost, people are doing their own thing rather than completing the task at hand, which is the Great Commission. Both of these items are affecting the church that is no longer moving forward, and also it's lost sight of the vision of our purpose or its purpose in the world and our value to the Lord. It is here that we're picking up. The sudden explosion afterwards as the torpedo is hitting the church is the church's pride, coupled with its arrogance. For it has drifted away from its first love and not recognized who is really in control. From within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within to defile a man. Defilement is already within the church. Because the church hears the word of God, but it's not affecting their heart. And so we forget who we are. We forget who our love and allegiance is to. They are sabotaging the very work of the church. 1 John 2:16-18 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away. And the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour." Not last days, last hour. It's crucial that we understand what exactly is happening. When a church loses its vision, people do the opposite of what has to be done. They would rather do their own thing than what God has requested or commanded. What is pride? The definition of pride is the sense of self-esteem from one's accomplishment, arrogant behavior, conceit, an assumption of self-importance, egotism, braggadocious. It is inwardly focused. Inwardly focused. What has COVID done to us? COVID has hindered the church, and the church has lost its vision. It has become more afraid for itself than really having faith in God to sustain them to complete the work at hand. Right? Wouldn't we say that? We substituted faith in God, the fear of man. Many churches have closed because people are still afraid. I praise God we're not of that disposition. Pride is the ultimate refusal to depend on God, even be submitted to his authority. And here we see the captains. Again, I said that the captains signify the shepherds of the flocks, calling out to others for help rather than the Lord. The torpedo of pride ruptures the hull, flooding the church with worldliness, its thoughts, its ideas, filling it with the vain philosophies of men, and the church, in its arrogance, is blind to its influence while accepting or being progressive in his view of the world. In other words, what God says is old-fashioned. What God says doesn't matter because the world is moving on and we need to keep up with the times. It's a lie. It's a lie. All kinds of evil in men's heart are released when there seems to be no care or understanding of the Word of God. what I had said last week was we're busy about getting people to come to church, when the reality of it that I see in the Great Commission is bring them to Jesus. We have all been infected with the same disease. It's called sin. And Jesus is the only one that can give us the cure. But we've forgotten that. We would call on everybody but God to meet needs. Now, I'm not saying that even in our missions offering that we should not help. And we do. We help as best as we possibly can, because that's what the Spirit of God is all about, is uniting us in the suffering of our brothers and sisters, whether they're next door, in the next state, or in the countries next to our homelands where we've come from. With the church in the middle of all this chaos, there's a sudden attack from within. Saboteurs are setting fires. We have these fires that are within the church called secular humanism, Darwinism, Freudism, psychology, humanitarian needs, climate control, all based on emotion rather than the truth of the Word of God. Look at it. You can look on TV, save the puppies. All of us like animals. But the SPCA says, save them. We need your help. Only for $11 a month. Right? Or St. Jude's for the children. I'm not knocking these things. Believe me. But I'm just trying to show you the fires that men light for us to chase our tail. And they're all good causes. But we should not be chasing after the causes. We should be chasing after the one who gave us the greatest cause, Jesus, and what he wants. He wants all men to come to repentance, to be saved. Are we that shallow that we got saved and we're not concerned about our family members? We're not concerned about our neighbors. We're not concerned about this one or that one. After all, I went out, Pastor, and I gave them a track. Ooh, that's good. That's a start. How about building a relationship? Find out what they believe in and don't believe in. Listen to them. Listen to their cares. There's more than one way to share the gospel. But you got to open up your mouth to do that. You see, we're building for eternity. We're not building for today. We're not building a church. This building is housing the church. That makes us the church, right? At the same time, the ship is being riddled with torpedoes. I call it political correctness, critical race theory, gender identity, immorality, lawlessness, assaulting the norms for any civil society. Because men's hearts are evil, these very things are taking them from the truth of the Word of God. COVID has fed the church with fear instead of replacing it. It is dividing us. And all these things are designed to destroy us, separate and conquer the haves and the have-nots. And remember, just not too short ago, man set up mandates, and if you're not vaccinated, and I don't have a problem with people who are vaccinated, believe me, I have a problem with the mandates, because it should be up to an individual to make that decision. Because your health is important to the individual and should only be considered by that person and their doctor, not some politician. That's just the way I feel about it. At this time, or wait a minute, Isaiah 5. I'm jumping ahead. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." We are living in those days right before us. We are. We can see it. You have people who are rioting, burning down buildings, killing people, and people are saying this is a peaceful protest. Yet when a person is defending himself from physical harm, killing an individual, wounding another individual, well, that's outrageous. That's outrageous. It's twisted. We had the right to defend ourselves in this country. Even God says we have that right. And He will defend us. But we're not supposed to just give our lives like sheep. We give that life to Christ, and He's the one who directs us. But the church, because it has an identity problem, and it also has an authority problem, doesn't see this. Why? Because, as I stated before, the church is busy about programs. How can I attract people to come to my church? I want to make my church fun. When really, the Great Commission says we need to bring them to Christ. That's what we're to do. That's church. That's our responsibility. Coming to streams, I've always taken this philosophy. My first and foremost job is to win the lost to Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit's job to tell them where to go. I can give them several churches that I know of in an area that they live in, but essentially it's up to them. But I didn't stop there. I followed up by asking a week or two afterwards if that person had come. No. Well, then I suggested that those leaders of the church go and find that one, bring them in. It's not just my job to win them. It's my job to get them planted someplace. Because if all we do is just win them to the Lord, what we have is a convert, not someone who has had a change of heart. You see, sin, it's dwelling within us. And we don't know how deep that sin is in a person's life. But we need to bring them to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Christ is the answer to the sin issue that we all face. It's problematic for us, and we're saved. Think about the scripture that says, you know, if judgment starts in the house of God, how much more so is the judgment of God for those who are outside His home? We should be of a different sort. We should look at opportunities to reach those who don't know Christ. And our job is to just tell them. It's their job to make a decision. But what we try to do is we try to win them on the first time we meet them. Let's build a relationship with them. Let's be real. I've learned in my time in ministry and service through a utility, people like to talk about themselves. They really do. So start your conversation on about how you doing? What do you do? You know, how's the weather? How's things been going on? You know, I was raised in lifestyle evangelism, which we share the gospel. We preached at them. We try to win them to Christ, and off we went. And I fear that we've left more death and destruction than we were actually accomplishing people for Christ. At this time, the Allied ships representing denominational churches are firing upon the true church of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? These are allies. These are churches that are supposed to be there for our assistance. But yet, they're firing on this mighty warship. Their shots are fired by, on the ship are allowed by homosexuals in the pulpit, liberalism to infiltrate their minds and hearts of their congregations while assaulting God's standards as old-fashioned and out of step with the world. The corrupt church assaults to kill any knowledge and standards of God for mankind to live by. It's okay. God loves you. That's true. God does love you. He hates your sin. He hates all of our sin. And until we realize what kind of condition that we're in, we don't have need of Christ. I was talking with Deb yesterday and I said to her, I said, how does a lawbreaker know that they've broken the law? Absolutely. When they've been caught doing a misdeed, right? But being caught today is declaring evil good. Right? And good evil. We have people who were exercising their rights. I'm not agreeing with what they did, but January 6th, a year ago, we had the right in this country to protest the government if it's not doing what we say it should be doing. That is our right as citizens. And yet, some of these patriots are locked in cells, have not had legal counsel, haven't been treated well, and doesn't one of our amendments say that we're to have a speedy trial? In other words, communism is taking over, an antichrist spirit is taking over, and those who are standing up for their rights are being politically expedient and taken away. Where's the church? Where's the church? The world has been successful in its assault against the church. So much so that even speaking against such evils is considered hate speech. Can you imagine that? I'm going to speak against it. I'd rather offend you than offend God. Because I eventually will stand before him and give an account. It's hate speech, punishable with imprisonment. You can have free speech as long as it agrees with the present narrative of society. Really, that's the truth. Pastor, I think you're just being a little too strong with your opinions. Not my opinion. It's a fact. That's what's happening. And we need to wake up. As a church in localities that we are at and worldwide, we need to wake up. Many a pastor and congregation are fearful to even speak against that while working so God is kicked out of our schools, our businesses, our families, our military, and our government. The godly principles we as a nation have built society on are no longer applied or taught. And we're becoming more like the world than the other way around. We are sinking in the morass of the present day society rather than adhering to God and his principles to live successfully in this world of mediocrity. And by that I say the attitude is it's good enough. It's good enough. For who? Does your king whom you've declared allegiance to settle for mediocrity? No, this is just good enough for you. Or does he give us the best? He sent his only son to die for us. Through his blood, he sacrificed, he fulfilled the Old Testament requirement of sin. He died a horrible death. But Easter's coming. Whoa! Easter eggs and chocolate bunnies. And if you're good, like I am with Nolan, black licorice jelly beans. I had them sitting on my desk. You wouldn't want to eat these peeps. They've been on my bookshelf for a few years. They might get stuck in your teeth. But I'm saying what has happened is, are we so much like the world that we have forgotten whose authority we're under? Whose authority we're supposed to use? I think we have. Because this, what God showed me is that the church is not in a healthy position. But there's good news. There's good news. Matthew. Christ speaking here. He says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Nothing's changed. From the time Christ said this to today, we're in the midst of wolves out there. What does a wolf do? He terrorizes and separates the sheep in such a way that eventually that sheep that's been separated from the herd, they can catch and kill. I think what God was saying today is to remind us it's better that we stay united and unified, but each of us do our part to fulfill the commission. If we are so afraid of brothers and sisters to exercise the gift that God has given to us, why are we in church? Why are we laying claim to his name, but yet we're like little kids, like my grandson goes behind the curtain and all you see is his feet. You can't see me. Oh, yes, I can. I see your toes. Christ is sending us out. By whose authority do we go out? Christ. He's given it to us. All power and authority he has given to us. All power and authority. If God is for us, who's against us? Think about this. You know? This is why I say we have an identity problem in the church, because we're not really realizing who God is. We sang a song today about his enormity, his immensity, his majesty, his glory. Those who are faithful will participate in that. I'm trying to exhort the church to not settle for less, not settle for just good enough. When we started this ministry, we were teaching everybody about the best. Give your best. God expects the best. Give him the best. Give him the best of what you have, and he'll surpass that. There's nothing hidden from God's eyes. He sees us every day. Oop, I sinned. I'm sorry, God. Like, that suffices. No. It doesn't suffice. His son paid for our crime. You realize that? My heart breaks. I've been saved for 38 years. My heart still breaks knowing what he did to save me and saved each and every one of you. I can't give this up, Pastor. You know, it's just too hard. You thought it was easy for him to go get his back beat, put a crown of thorns upon his head, his back turned into hamburger. And then the Romans mocked him, threw a purple sheet on him, and then ripped it off just as the blood is coagulating. Then carried his cross. Had no sleep for 2 days. I just can't do that. God's not called me into that. You better read your Bible to see what he's called you into. Really. Joshua stated really true. Not my grandson. But Joshua said, you know, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. I don't care what people say about me. I've had people in my family say I'm a religious fanatic. I'd rather be on the right side of God than on the wrong side of God. I can't speak for you. I can only speak about what he's given to me, trying to impress your hearts. As the world becomes filled with more despair and uncertainty, I see great opportunity for the church in these last hours. The situations that we find ourselves in don't speak of the truth we have in Christ Jesus. He has overcome the world for us already. Didn't he tell us that? Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world for you. So we should be happy. He has overcome the world for us already, so keep preaching the good news, no matter what. Don't let them try to shut you up. Don't try to allow them to throw law on you. You have a bigger directive from the most infinite God, and we need to be like Peter and John. If it seems right that we obey you, then God, we're going to obey God. Where's your faith? It takes faith to make that declaration. It takes faith to go out there every day sharing what God is doing in your life. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame the adversary by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not care about their lives. How militant are you? Oh, that's too militant for me. Find another church. You won't find one. You'll find one that's like the world. I don't identify myself with the worldly church. I identify myself with those who want to change the world one person at a time. He is in control. He has our lives in his hands. If he has our lives in our hands and he promises to take care of us, what do we have to be afraid of? I think that word that Nolan gave speaks to that. If you only have a little bit and you're busy holding on to that little bit, you'll never get more of God. You'll only have what you have until you open your hand up and he can fill it. That sounds like a preaching I did years and years ago, isn't it? Tells me that the word of God doesn't change. It's applicable today to those who want to be known by their master. Who owns you? Really? That's not a tough question. I said years ago, I said every person has a price. They can't buy me. Why? Because Christ has already paid that price for me. And until you come to that position in knowing that God owns you so much so that he wants to keep you alive so that you can hear the good news of Jesus Christ and make a decision. Well, Pastor, do I have to convert my faith? No. You are who you are. But I would say you would be wise in receiving salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Moira was a perfect example. Saw the Holy Spirit all over her, and she come to me and she said, Pastor, do I have to convert? And she was Jewish. I said, no. I said, you'll be complete in Christ. How awesome is that? And that's the misunderstanding of people. I have to give something up to receive something. What you got to give up is your sin. He doesn't give us anything more. That's the good news. He accepts you for who you are, right where you are. You don't have to wait to clean your act up because you know what? Eternity is right at the door for us, whether you realize it or not. All the prophecies are fulfilled, or I like to say the stage is set for him to come. The master is about ready to come. Are you ready? The end has not yet come, so we need to understand we have work to do. And that work is working in Father's field to ultimately bring in his harvest. Bring his harvest to him. Everybody has to have a go-to-meeting Jesus time. And even in that, they can't come to Jesus unless God draws them. Read your Bible. See how it's done. We do our part in preaching. God draws them. And the rest is up to the Holy Spirit. Don't allow your emotions to dictate the moment. Stay in the truth of the gospel. Stop trying to put out every fire that you see. When we started Streams years ago, I used to say to everybody, come, I'll help you with your fires. And if you come back to me with the same fire, I'll give you a bucket. I've showed you how to do it. Now do it. I'm not going to put your fires out. I've showed you how to do it. You show me any difference that Jesus did. Jesus showed them. He allowed them to go out. He came back. He listened to their report. He made corrections. And out they went again. The church is so bloated today that even with Apostle Keith sharing, you know, about sponsoring one family, he needs 12 grand, is that what he said? For 6 months. We focus on the money instead of, that's a short period of time. I don't know about you, but if God speaks to me, I'll be giving more. Why? Because I don't give to get. I give to let God do what he does best with the little I can give him. See, we have to have our minds renewed. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I've harped on this years and years and years. People don't know what an acceptable sacrifice is. So when you talk about renewing your mind, whoa. But renewing your mind lets you into the door to understand what God's will is. His good and acceptable and perfect will. Brother, that's really tough. You don't understand, you know. I know I spent 10 years in time out with Daddy. That's what I know. I think it's long enough for me to spend that time. It's time for you guys to rise up and be trained. so that when Daddy comes with Christ, he'll find us working and say, that's my boy, that's my girl. I'm so proud of him. Whether you win 1,000 or one, I'm so proud of you. You didn't hide your talent. You used it in such a way to bring glory. And because you did that, I'm going to give you even more responsibility. Whoa, what do you mean more responsibility? I thought I was done. Read your scriptures. Understand that we are not placed on this earth to live to ourselves. We are to live for God, for the kingdom to come. The kingdom has already come. It's dwelling in us. We have the King dwelling in us, telling us what needs to be done. What we need to do is be obedient to what he says for us to do. There's always going to be fires. But we need to understand that God's not calling us to solve every fire. You ever watch a snake? You know, we'll go back to that scripture in Matthew. Wise as serpents, gentle as doves. You ever see a snake? Does the snake bite every time? No, it doesn't. Why? It would use up all its venom. And then it would be at the mercy of whatever it's trying to attack. It uses it when it feels threatened. And then attacks. Large prey, like biting men. There are poisonous snakes out there that can really put a hurt on us. And there are also other snakes that could kill us. We're not supposed to attack anyone. We're to love them. That's the venom that we use. That's the antidote to the sin issue. Because with kindness and love and patience, God is able to reach a soul that we don't think is reachable. With kindness and love, God uses that to draw people. If you've lived your life in such a way of that you've been dipped in bad vinegar or sour lemons and stuff, get something sweet. Have a smile on your face. Be kind to people. Even if they're rude, be kind. God bless you. I've had people cuss me out and say, may the Lord be on your side too. Really? Jesus told us, don't return evil for evil, but return evil with good. I haven't always been the easiest person because I've been so bent on accomplishing the Great Commission. And I'm sorry that that may have offended people because of that, but I'm not going to apologize for trying to accomplish what God has set for us. I am sorry in the way that I went about doing that, and I could have been better. This is not a time to lose heart, church. It's time for us to seize the moment. It's time for us to encourage our brothers and sisters to come back to Christ. Not to streams or to their churches or whatever. Come back to Christ. That's the first step. Repent. Get it under his blood. He will forgive us. John says, if we confess our sins before him, he is faithful and true to cleanse us and forgive us of all unrighteousness. That's the God I serve. Do I have to deal with the consequences of my behavior because it was wrong or presumed? Yeah, and so will you. But don't ever apologize for the truth that so richly dwells in you. Stand up for God, because he stood up for you on a cross. He declared you not guilty. by that sacrifice. And we have an eternal home with him because of it. Let's lay down all the excuses. Believe me, I've used a number of them. But all of us have excuses that we need to jettison. And then we need to ask God to have mercy on us. And then do what he told us to do. Right? And if I can help, or if Pastor Gary can help, we're here. That's what Streams is here, to help, to come alongside of you, to help you. God is going to clean you up as you go out and do what he says. You don't have to wait. Well, you know, I drink a fifth of vodka every day. Are you saved? Yeah. Did God lay a condition on you? Well, I didn't see any, but I drink a lot, and I can't. You just do what God says to do, and you give the rest to him. It's his job. I used to be heavy in drugs. As I was sharing with Steve, I've been 38 years sober from the drugs. It's not a small thing that when our brothers and sisters are struggling in an area, and we're learning about this in fasting, there's certain types of fast that once we're called upon, we can petition the Lord through prayer and fasting to break this insidious bondage that is laid upon the children of God. My hope is knowing that the return of our King is near, and we will be found faithful. We're not going to lose heart. We're going to be encouraged because the end is almost here. The end of this kind of work is almost done. We are to preach and live the gospel as best as we can, and let the Holy Spirit change us so that all men can see the hope that we have. Those sitting on the sidelines or on the fence will receive their reward in full in due time. So don't worry about them. I said, you know, sitting on the fence is really uncomfortable for a guy. Real uncomfortable. But you should be rather hot or cold, not lukewarm. Why? Because Jesus wants to know definitively where you stand. If you definitively stand for Christ, you will bow down to no man. No man. We have a saying, and I read this. No matter the cost. For men who make that declaration, I personally buy a sword that's written in Greek that says, no matter the cost. No matter the cost. We could be at odds with each other, but don't you step in at our dogfight. Why? Because we'll stop fighting long enough to do what God says, because that's what families do. We'll defend each other no matter what. But when there's a dispute, don't try to reconcile that dispute until the Holy Spirit says to get in. And I said this many times. I said, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ has failed to do its job. It wants to do the job of the Holy Spirit. I think if we just do what he tells us to do, and the Holy Spirit does what he's designed to do, we would all be benefactors of it. We are all in need of a Savior. So I want to encourage you to live your lives, because eternity depends on it. And it truly does. what we do with the knowledge that God has given to us serves in such a way that it positions us for eternity. It positions us in such a way of where we find ourselves located with our brothers and sisters at the table, that Christ has promised that he will serve us because we'll be at the wedding feast. Right? I don't want to be like some people. Their best friend gets married and yet they want to upstage the event. John the Baptist put it correctly. He must increase while I decrease. As long as I'm sitting on his throne, we got a problem. And it's not on his end. I just want to encourage you guys that we have not reached the fullness of the potential that God has given to us. We need to wake up, get right with God, and get to work. There's people out there dying just to be asked, what do you know about Jesus? What do you think about God? What's your heartstrings say? What do you think about? Strike up that conversation. Listen to the Holy Spirit. You may be in a shopping center, in a line, and the Holy Spirit says, go strike up a conversation. I can't tell you how many times that's happened. But I did. Irene's done it. And she's a talker. I'm not. Much. Father, I've given them your word. I've shared the vision that you had given to me about the condition of your church. I pray that as this word goes forth, others would invite to have me come and share this word, to wake them up, to do what you want done, not what they think they should be doing. God, forgive us. I cry that you have mercy upon us, Lord God. All of us have missed the mark. All of us have thought that we're doing your work only to find out that we have not. God, you are glorious. You are awesome. You are full of mercy and compassion and love. And you love us so much that you hate sin and you want no one to perish. But this message, God, you've given to us. Fill each and every one today, Lord God, with your spirit of boldness, of love, and a sound mind. Fill them to overflowing, God, that they would be compelled to share what you have filled in their hearts. Holy Spirit, lead them to the person that you want them to speak to. May this be the beginning of a revival for Christ's sake and for the church. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.